And welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. And this is the Aaron Selbig Show. Our phone lines are open at 929-5160. If you've got a question or comment for our esteemed guests, we are very glad to have in the studio with us right now Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Eric Kroc.
Hey, Aaron.
How you doing, Johnny?
Good to be here.
I guess we're esteemed guests, Johnny.
You guys are definitely esteemed. Good to see you, and thanks for taking time out of your schedules. And in the case of you, Senator Ellis, a tough re-election campaign, I'm sure.
I'm sweating it out.
Are you?
Absolutely.
You never know.
I actually am campaigning. I do want to ask the residents of...
Do you have yard signs and everything?
Yeah, I have yards. I have two up. I have two yard signs up, but I am out there talking to people. I'm answering questionnaires. I'm asking people for the honor of their vote.
Oh, Senator Ellis is unopposed, and rightly so, because he does such a fabulous job. But that, for anyone who's not in on the joke, that's what they're joking about. He's still taking it seriously, but rightly people decided, why even go against the man?
I've heard that. I've heard the rumors. I've heard people say that the Republicans consider Johnny unbeatable.
That's right.
I thought that was a great compliment to my staff, and I gave my staff a lot of credit because we've done good constituent work over the years. We attend the community councils. We stay on top of the issues, and I'm not under investigation by the FBI, so that's kind of a pathetic statement. But if that makes me a standout from some of the Republicans, then I'm willing to take it.
Makes him an all-star in the legislature already.
We were talking before you guys came in the studio about the controversy in rural Alaska over the decision whether or not to accept this gift of heating oil from Citgo Oil, based in Houston, but owned by the Venezuelan government and Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez, a controversial figure, some of the controversy legitimate, some of it propaganda, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of folks in the letters to the editor page and right-wing talk radio have been saying that if rural Alaskans accept this gift, and this is a hefty gift, $5 million worth of free heating oil, that it is unpatriotic, that it is un-American. What do you guys think about that?
Well, we shouldn't be in this position. Right. I mean, Alaskans should take care of Alaskans. Aren't we the Alaskan family, urban and rural? And during the last legislative session, Governor Murkowski made a proposal in his supplemental spending budget for some assistance to rural Alaska. And at the time, there was some cynical comment from folks, not necessarily the Democrats, but from other folks that maybe Murkowski was trying to repair his image and do the right thing. It was probably a combination of things, as most times it is. But the governor had proposed some additional money for LIHEAP, the Low-Income Energy Assistance Program. It's a federal program. He was advocating for some one-time state money to build up that program. Democrats didn't think it was adequate to what was going on. But we had this enormous budget surplus, Aaron, built up because of high energy prices. People in rural Alaska were shivering and struggling to pay the heating oil bills. And so Democrats wanted to gang up with Governor Murkowski in a bipartisan way to do the right thing by these rural Alaskans. So we shouldn't be in this position where Mr. Chavez is, trying to make a gift to Alaskans or other Americans who are struggling to pay their energy bills. We should have done the right thing. But it was Fairbanks and Anchorage Republicans that said, no, we're not interested in sharing the wealth of high oil prices with Alaskans who need it most. Eric was in on the debate as well.
Yeah, how did that go? I mean, you know, and we saw the rewards of that with the fire that happened in the village out there where I believe it was the fire station had frozen because they couldn't pay to heat it. And we all saw the sight of them trying to put out this fire by throwing snow on the building. I guess, reaping what you sow, I guess, when you don't make that a priority. I guess the question is whether it's a political ploy by Chavez or not, and it probably is, it remains true. He's right that the federal government, and in this case, the state legislature, has turned its back on rural Alaska in this regard.
Right. I think it's embarrassing. We're being trapped in the war of words between George Bush and Hugo Chavez. But the war I'm most interested in is the war that some urban Republicans have declared on rural Alaska. We wouldn't be in this situation if we could provide the kind of assistance that they should have, that they deserve as Alaskans, that... You know, in all these emergencies, and it is an emergency, the fuel in rural Alaska is increasingly an emergency. I was out in an Arctic village where they have to fly in their fuel, and it was six heading to seven or eight for heating dollars a gallon for heating fuel. And it's just outrageous, and people literally can't survive at those prices. We need to start treating this like an Alaskan family. When Anchorage had its earthquake, and when Fairbanks had its flood, we rushed in supplies to help. And that sort of spirit of everyone in it together, I'm sad that we've lost some of that.
Is that just that's part of a continuing trend that rural Alaska gets left behind? I mean, what does it take? What does it take to bridge that gap for our urban legislators to see that point that Eric just made, that we are all part of a big family?
Well, I'm a big fan of a program by the Humanities Forum that takes young Alaskans from urban areas and rural areas.
And I think adults should have to
does
do
an exchange
that.
Program.
Legislators.
Yeah.
Well, Commonwealth North has done, when I ran a committee, we actually took the House Hess Committee and some other committees out to rural Alaska and went to Chivac and the villages all around the Bethel hub. And there were some of the folks in our group, one Republican from Eagle River, Mary Miller, former Representative Mary Miller, had never been to rural Alaska. She'd never been to an outhouse. She'd never seen a honey bucket. So it was a real eye-opening experience for her. But so there needs to be more legislative leadership in that regard and youth exchange programs. But back on the, you know, not just affecting rural Alaska with the high energy prices, it's been a concern in both urban and rural Alaska. When Governor Murkowski killed off municipal assistance and revenue sharing, the program to share the oil wealth between the state and the local government for basic services, that's really what made a point in Quinnahuck and not being able to heat the fire station so that the fire wagon was completely frozen in the winter and the two guys died in the cabin. And I guess the villagers were out there with their hands in the ice and snow trying to put out this fire. Just a really sad, sad, preventable tragedy. But that goes back to Murkowski killing off municipal assistance and revenue sharing, back when he killed the longevity bonus. Two actions that the Democrats stood up and said, Governor, this is a mistake. We don't want to be the we-told-you-so guys or gals. We want to be the people that work with you to restore this program. And this year, we were actually able to get a restoration. So there was some assistance to rural. Here in Anchorage, Mayor Mark Begich wants to use that money for property tax relief. But in rural Alaska, they're using it for more basic things. Mm-hmm. But energy, as Eric has said from his village traveling experience earlier this year, it's just there's really pain in the heart of the Alaska family. I don't know how else to say it except to say that there are a lot of people suffering, and Hugo Chavez is trying to take advantage of that for political gain and to help people that need help. So it's a mixed bag as usual, but it's a position we should not be in.
442 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Eric Croft are guests. If you've got a question or comment for them, 929-5160 is the telephone number. We're going to go to line one now where we're joined by Teresa. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air with Senator Ellis and Representative Croft.
Yes, and Aaron Teresa Obermeyer, I wanted to first of all mention that I've been asking for quite some time to be interviewed on your show because I have two websites, the Alaska Permanent Fund Board Confirmation Committee, which you can get on Google, and my other one is my own individual website, www.tobermeyer.info. And, of course, at the top of my homepage, Mr. Croft, is my writing that I sent to the entire legislature of September 17th. I hope that you have read that, Eric. And I, you know, Johnny, you and Eric have talked about the family of Alaska. Where is any level of decency anymore? And just to bring up Senator Ellis, I faxed this writing to your home today because I know, sir, as a rule of my life, you are known by the company you keep, and you're keeping company with Eric Croft. Now, Mr. Croft,
well, what do you mean by that, Teresa? We only have a couple of minutes here. What accusation are you leveling at Eric?
Just to bring up, anyone in Alaska can go to the Department of Commerce website and get that Eric Croft sponsors what is called the Alaska Professional Testing Incorporated. Mr. Croft has been in charge of the Alaska Bar Review since 1998. And I, of course, have downloaded all of his APOC contributions that total $165,000. These lawyers love Eric. Now, please know that I'm not saying even that all the lawyers that gave him contributions understand what he could have done in the last 8 years. I find it incomprehensible. I only know that I have watched one man for 22 and a half years, whom I know is the smartest man I know. And I think I can speak to that because I have five brothers that are attorneys. And I have watched a man that our entire basement is full of Alaska bar exam review materials. See, Aaron, just so you understand.
You're talking about your husband here. Is that correct? Some of our listeners may not be familiar with this saga.
Come on.
You're talking about your husband, right? Who's...
Yes, and that's what you. Anyone can check these two different websites and see the substance of the issues that we have been raising for almost 30 years here. Aaron, I don't know whether you know that my husband has been licensed in a real state that actually has law schools for 16 years. And then Mr. Croft wants to go on the Dan, just like I'm calling in today. I was on the Dan Fagan show in September of 2003, and Mr. Croft actually called in and announced that my husband had not been prepared for the July 2003 bar exam. He is this ridiculous. Eric, I am so sorry that it has taken me so long to figure out how bad you are. Eric, you see, my point would be, and Aaron, let's talk about this.
Teresa, we have to take a break here. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pose these questions to Eric when we come back.
But I just want to mention that I don't think someone that's in public office should be allowed to be in charge of the Alaska Bar Review. That's the bottom line.
All right. Very good. We'll ask Eric about that after a short break. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. If you'd like to jump in, 929-5160, the telephone number. We'll be right back with Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Eric Croft. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Eric Croft are guests on the Aaron Selbig Show today. Eric, before the break, Teresa Obermeyer called in. She has got some accusations, which I'm trying to digest, leveled at you, related to her husband and passing the bar exam. This is one of those sagas of Alaska history, really, at this point. It's
never
been
going on
for years. Can you tell us the story of what's going on here?
Yeah, first I want to apologize because we've got a lot of great issues to come and talk about on the reserves tax, the gas pipeline initiative, a lot of other things. But very quickly, what I've done for the last 10 years is be a legislator. My wife's an architect, so I'd stay at home and take care of the kids. And I teach this bar review course. And I offered in 2003 to for free help Tom Obermeyer, who I knew was having trouble, who hadn't ever been a student before. He had practiced in Missouri, and there is a rule that says you can waive into the bar if you haven't failed the bar in the last 5 years. So in other words, they will say, well, if you've practiced in another state, that's great, but you can't have failed recently, or you sort of proved that you shouldn't be a bar. Mm-hmm. In 2003, be able to pass the bar. In 2003, he hadn't taken it in 4 years. So he and I got together. I gave him the materials for free. I was working with him. We were having coffee every couple of weeks. And we were working on getting him to pass and also not taking the bar for another year to get his argument that he had this five-year rule so he could waive in. So we'd have two things to do: work for a year, because he clearly has some issues, and wait for a year so that he could waive in if that was possible too. The bar is given in late July. The course goes June and July. It was July 4th. I remember it well. Mm-hmm. Tom calls me back up and says, Teresa thinks I ought to take the course. What do you mean? Or take the exam. Well, I do too, but next year, just like we decided, Tom. No, she thinks I ought to take it now. The course is half over, two-thirds over. The exam is in 3 weeks. You can't do it now. You won't be prepared. Well, and then I did what no other elected official in the history of Alaska has done, at least not in the last 15 years, which is call Teresa Obermeyer at home and say, Teresa, don't do this. He's not going to be prepared. Einstein can't pass it now. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a plan. We were working towards something that would get us there. It was, as you could tell from this, a frustrating conversation. He went ahead. I said, well, you can come in. He attended the last 3 weeks of the course, and he was unprepared for that. We did provide him free materials. It's the danger that comes with trying to help. I think, given the time, and if we could keep the interference from Teresa out of the picture, you still might be able to help Tom get over this nightmare of his, and I wanted to help. But I think he's going to be in it as long as...
And you say you did this for free, you guided him for free and helped him out?
Yeah, both because I wanted to help, and frankly, if you're in this business, if you're in the bar review business teaching people to pass the bar, he's sort of the Mount Everest, right? Mm-hmm. He's the, if you can make this work, You can be proud of it.
Would have been a good advertisement.
Well, that's right. So it was both wanting to help him and wanting to take on the biggest challenge that there is. But it sure hasn't worked out very well.
All right, we got to take a short break here. We've got callers on, and frankly, we have more important issues to attend here on the Aaron Selbig Show. Representative Eric Croft and Senator Johnny Ellis, our guests, 929-5160, the telephone number. We'll be right back, and we'll go to the phones. And welcome back, folks. 4:55 in the Anchorage Bowl. Representative Eric Croft and Senator Johnny Ellis, our guests. Let's get to the phones to line one, where we're joined by Tom. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Fine, yourself?
I'm doing all right. What's on your mind today, sir?
Well, I'm glad to hear that revenue sharing is coming back because that's a major source of income for our rural Alaska folks. And I'm hoping we can do more for that. And also the longevity bonus. But the reason I called was a comment about Hugo Chavez.
Okay.
This morning on the news, it was reported that APIA, the Aleutian Pugilist Island Association, has turned down the offer of free fuel from Zitco. Mm-hmm. I believe it's a reimbursement type thing. It's not actually fuel. It's money for fuel. And I was kind of disappointed to hear that. With the huge flop that occurred over Hugo Chavez's statements at the UN, I think spurred on a lot of this. But I don't think that any organization should cause something that would cause residents of Alaska not to take advantage of an opportunity if he's got the money he wants to give away through his their nationalized oil company. I don't see any problem with accepting it. And then the other thing I would ask is what he said about our president. While I don't agree with the sentiments, it isn't really much different from what Bush has done for other world leaders. He's called them evil. He's called them, you know, we've got the axis of evil. He's
that
personal comments about other people. Why shouldn't we expect that to be happening to him?
Yeah, it does seem like the pot calling the kettle black. You know, the funny part, and Chavez did, whether you appreciated what he said or not, he did have a funny line at the end when he said that he had to leave because he had a meeting with the Axis of Evil somewhere around there. That was pretty good.
I mean, he has a sense of humor. I mean, like I said, I don't agree with that kind of hyperbole. I don't agree with it from our president.
It's kind of like President Bush.
Right,
and two are remarkably similar. They're kind of like radical Islam and radical Christianity. If it wasn't for the specific worldview, they'd probably be best friends.
There you go.
You know? Thanks a lot. We got to try to get to another caller, Tom. Appreciate the call. 929-5160, the number. Let's try to get to one more. We go to Bill on line two. Bill, are you there, sir?
Yes. For Eric and Johnny Ellis. There's more Republicans in Alaska than Democrats, and Sarah Palin got more votes than Knowles. If Sarah Palin's elected governor, can you and the Democrats work across the aisle to get things done with her?
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. We're committed to a reform agenda and shaking things up and doing things differently in Juneau. Some very specific proposals about ethics reform and health care and a laundry list that you hopefully will become more familiar with and the public will as we get closer to the election. But if Sarah Palin's the governor, we'll reach out to her. I took the group of Democrats up to see Frank Murkowski, and we had a letter with 14 issues where we thought we had common ground with this governor. And didn't hear anything after that. He said the right words in a meeting. In his second, you know, the first 2 years were a disaster of bully tactics from the governor that were very ineffective. But the second time around, we said, well, it's a clean slate. It's the 24th legislature. Let's try and do something good for the people. And we made a proposal, and they weren't really very interested because they operated in a very partisan, negative way. And so, yeah, we'll reach out to Sarah if she's the governor.
She basically said the same thing. She was on the show yesterday. As a matter of fact, Johnny, you bring up the ethics. She said yesterday on the show that she agreed with Berta Gardner's
on the right track.
Legislation.
So, I was glad to hear that.
So, I was glad to hear that as well. All right, we got a break here for Air America News at the top of the hour. Representative Eric Croft and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests. 929-5160, the number. friends, Alaskans, countrymen and women, lend us your ears. It is 5.07 p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl, and it's time for Hour 2 of the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Harry... I'm so used to having Harry Crawford in here. Representative Eric Croft. I'm sorry. Eric Croft and Johnny Ellis, our guests. Our phone lines are open, folks, at 929-5160. This is your opportunity to ask these guys a question. You like that,
Aaron,
music?
I have to give a shout-out to JR, the engineer, man. He's playing the hives.
JR does do requests here at the Aaron Selbig Show occasionally.
You guys are making me feel old. Ellis knows more about
modern
music.
I turned Eric Croft on to Kanye West 5 years ago when nobody had heard of that young man, and he hadn't won any Grammys or said that George Bush doesn't care about black people. And then when he started winning awards, Eric Croft said, "You told me about this guy 5 years ago."
And in the hives you told me about, too.
We can't play Gold Digger on the show.
I'm supposed to be the kid around here. You're much hipper than I am, Senator.
We got to stay young. We got to have a sense of humor in the Alaska legislature, believe me.
All right. Oh, no.
Oh, it's Gold Digger. Now, that has some bad words in it.
Yeah, careful.
Bad for the kids.
Oh, Lord. Let's go to the phones before we get ourselves a whopping FCC violation. 929-5160, the telephone number, if you've got a question or comment for Senator Ellis or Representative Croft. We go to line one now, and to Will, who's been waiting patiently.
Hey, thank
Will.
You, Will.
How you doing?
This is like...
It's brutal,
like
isn't it?
Like a long, hard slog.
It ain't easy sometimes. But
where did I hear that word at, right?
Well, we're staying the course.
Let's see. It's hard for my troubled mind to find some point of focus. I just knocked out this list real quick. I got illegal aliens, move the legislature, bridge to McKenzie, Alaska gas line, the petroleum line, local higher school district problems, renewable energy, marine school, bundled line.
That's what happens when you're on hold for a long
time. Here's what I don't understand. First, I want you to clear the mystery up for me about are you in favor of moving legislature here where we, the people, can be a part of it? Yes or no, are you in favor? Can you guys do that real quick?
I'm not. I think we got to reform the process, and wherever you put it isn't going to make as big a difference as real reforms.
Johnny?
I'm not anxious to divide the government between the executive and the legislature.
That is so scary to me. Okay, but I'll let that stand, okay? Now, the next question I have is there any place in town for the people to gather with cameras so that we can have like a video plebiscite where there's no charge for us and that the city or the state or the bureau or somebody furnishes that to us, the people, to gather?
So you can have a vote on what? Because I've spent most of the last 2 years talking to people trying to get their individual vote to get around, to get real campaign finance reform, to get you the right to elect your own U.S.
No, I'm not talking. Here's what I'm suggesting to you. I'm suggesting that anybody that tells me that the Capitol is a better place in the Juneau than being here with the people, that's scary, but I won't go into that. But it confirms my belief that as problems become more complex and intertwined and interwoven, that we, the people, are going to have to solve them because you folks have become so detached in your reasoning and in your representation that what happens now is we need a plebiscite. In today's video and means of dissemination, we need a place where we, the people, can go without being charged and put the cameras on. And, Guy, I think there's like four stations out there, the university, the city, and the school, and gavel to gavel, but there's no place for us little people to go and talk to each other under some reasonable means or crowd or table or microphone so that we can understand, deeper thoughts.
You mean so that the citizens around here in Anchorage and South Central Alaska and elsewhere can not just watch what's going on in Juneau and gavel to gavel, but to actually participate? Is that what you're getting at, Will?
Yes, and then when they hold a meeting, they can put it on camera, and then we can see it. See, and we can begin to educate ourselves because the process of a society is to be educated. But when your leaders go off to Juneau, to a little bitty town where we can't participate and hang out in the bars and fly the airplane, and God knows they'll get killed, and then have the audacity to tell us it's a stupid idea to want to be here amongst the people. It really, we need some place to gather so we can record our meetings and be able to share and disseminate our information rather than have something isolated and remote.
All right, thanks for that.
You gentlemen are the ones who make the laws. You are it. For you to blame somebody else is just unfathomable to me.
Thanks a lot for that, Will. It's good. Appreciate that. Will posed this question to Sarah Palin as well yesterday. It's an interesting idea. Is there anything that we can do short of moving the capital to help the bulk of the population, Will's right here in South Central Alaska, to feel more connected to what's going on in the government?
I think that, yeah, you can do a lot of things. We've done some of them and not enough. You can put real reforms in the process, get big money out of Alaska politics so that it can be individual votes and individual contributions. And nobody has fought harder than Senator Ellis for openness in government, for campaign finance reform, for all those things. So I think Will was being unfair there. But in every state, there's been this rough compromise. You know, California didn't put it in L.A. New York didn't put it in New York City. You typically don't put your capital just where your population center is, because there's an idea that if you put the capital there, there's some group of legislators that just never leave. You get L.A.-based laws or New York City-based laws, mm-hmm. and you ignore the rest of the state. So it's the rough justice that led to us having a spread-out a system like that. I want to do all I can, I know Senator Ellis does, to make government more accessible. I'm just not sure you do it the way Will suggested.
And I'm looking forward to seeing Will participate in all those video conferences that we have that not a lot of people show up for to testify on their government. He can see that on Gavel to Gavel, and there's an opportunity to go to the legislative information offices around the state and participate in video conferences for an interactive work with the legislature.
You know, I know what you're talking about, Eric, and I've seen both sides of this problem. I'm originally from Phoenix, which is the largest state capital in the country, and they have that problem. They have the same argument in Arizona and have been having it just as long, if not longer, as we have, but it's the opposite, that the capital needs to be moved to Flagstaff or Tucson or someplace a little bit smaller outside of the power center of Phoenix, because you end up having Phoenix-based laws for the rest of Arizona, right, which doesn't work. That the idea everywhere in Arizona except for Phoenix is that Phoenix controls what goes on in the state, and that's not representative.
I tell people in Juneau, I'm not opposing the capital move because I'm protecting you. I'm doing it for Anchorage in this sense, that if you had the capital here, there'd be Anchorage legislators that never went anyplace else, that never knew anything else. And Juneau is not rural Alaska, but you can kind of see it from there. You know, you can feel mm-hmm. some of the impact. The legislature's lack of response to the real problems of this state is the real problem of the state. And we can fix it by electing a better legislature and by, when appropriate, going over their heads using the initiative process.
We got to take a break here at quarter past the hour on the Aaron Selbig Show. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. It's hard to believe it's already quarter past. We haven't even talked about the gas reserves initiative. Sarah Palin made a comment yesterday that she is worried about litigation, that if this gas reserves initiative passes on November 7th, that ExxonMobil and the other oil companies may tie it up in litigation. Eric, I want to ask you about that possibility and if that's a reason for holding back, for resisting, for voting against this thing. We will come back after that. 929-5160, the telephone number. This is the Aaron Selbig Show. We shall return. And welcome back. 519 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Johnny Ellis and Representative Eric Croft are guests on the show today. 929-5160, the telephone number, if you've got a question or comment for them. I've got a question for you, Representative Croft. I don't know why I'm having a hard time. It's the simplest one-syllable name in the world. I apologize.
You called him Harry Crawford a minute ago.
I did.
Which is a compliment.
Croft.
I'm the good-looking one, though.
Oh, ouch. I'm going to tell him you said that.
Oh,
like I said on the other side of the break, Sarah Palin was in here yesterday. We asked her about your gas reserves initiative, what she thought about it. She was kind of
back and forward.
She's having a hard time with it, but
let me help you out with it then.
Okay.
One of the critiques has been, they might litigate, and
right.
Exxon might. They certainly have been litigating against our fishermen for a long time. Governor Murkowski proposed a different approach than we've put forward, which was that we waive our sovereignty, that we agree to waive our ability to control our oil and gas laws for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And people said at that time, and they're absolutely right, if we do that, if we do what Exxon wants, somebody's going to sue. So I don't want to be in litigation either, but it sounds like you're going to be in litigation either way. And I'd rather be there because we tried to stand on our rights than because we tried to give them away. I'd rather ask a court whether we can be a sovereign instead of whether we can refuse to be a sovereign.
You know, there's two ways to look at this thing, and I think that a lot of folks, and certainly by the tone of a lot of the advertising that you're seeing on TV, some folks are looking at it as a punishment, as kind of a hard line in the sand punishment against the oil companies if they don't build us a gas pipeline. Another way to look at it is an incentive to build, and I know that you've said that. Which is it, or is there an element of both?
Well, it's mainly an incentive. What we've had is a fiscal structure for a long time that says you only pay when you produce, and you can warehouse this as long as you want. Every other fiscal structure in the world has severe penalties for delay. You can't go to Qatar or Indonesia and say, look, I know we were going to develop your gas on this schedule in the next 5 years, but our 50-year plan, it would be better for Exxon or BP if we waited 10 or 15 or 20 more years. You'll get nationalized. You'll get, or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been playing hardball in places that play hardball for a long time, and they come here, and we literally have let Point Thompson sit there undeveloped on oil or gas for
20 years.
Yeah. And so we've got to get in the game, guys. If we're going to get this developed, there's got to be some consequences for delay. This is a relatively modest one. You take $900 million, and with the new PPT, you get to deduct it. So it already went down by what they did in the legislature to $400 or $500 million. Divide that by the three and a half big players on the slope. It's $150 million a company. Lee Raymond, the outgoing chairman of Exxon, got a $300 million golden parachute. Mm-hmm. This is not it's a modest step towards letting them know we're the sovereign, we're going to be responsible for developing that clean-burning natural gas. And I see it as Alaska standing up for itself. You know, it is not in and of itself going to get us a gas pipeline. But it, with an aggressive governor that will stand up and say, we want to talk to you about Point Thompson, we want to talk to you about those leases, that in combination can start to get us moving in the right direction.
Let's go back to the phones, 929-5160, the telephone number. We have one line open presently. Let's go to line one now, where we're joined by Bob. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Aaron. Well, I may have been speaking about this afternoon, this very same thing, to somebody on your show. You, actually. I have two questions. Sarah yesterday mentioned using strong negotiation instead of having to go through litigation as far as the reason she opposes the initiative on the oil gas reserve. And I maintain that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How can we have strong negotiation when we let an oil company, we back down because an oil company threatens litigation? How are we supposed to negotiate when they know all they have to do is threaten negotiation, will back down?
Right. You're in a stronger position when you're able to say, hey,
that's my point.
Yeah. We put this on the table. We want to get a good deal. We'd certainly be willing to modify the reserves tax or get out of, agree in the lawsuit to a settlement, have the legislature change it. You put a very important negotiating piece, token.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. I thought that was a very weak answer yesterday. And one other thing is the oil companies have thousands of dollars going to ad sponsoring the opposition to the oil gas reserve. The gas reserve initiative. How can we negate this? How can we go up against that? Well, because they've got local people and they're having them come out with these common sense sounding phrases that don't make any sense.
Right. Well, we're gonna. It's not just thousands, it's millions. And we've been fighting the front group to get them to disclose that it's BP and Exxon that are funding this effort. And we're working that through the APOC process. At the same time, we're putting together, and I just got the paperwork today, for a small group. But we will never have the kind of money that Exxon can throw around. So we're hoping to get together a little money for for some radio or maybe one print piece so that we can tell Alaskans the truth. I don't mind. I wish I had the money they did. But I told a reporter today who was talking about, aren't you upset about what you're up against? Look, if you make this sandlot football and you say you can either have Exxon and millions of dollars and a bunch of intimidated or scared business leaders who want to make sure they keep their contracts, or you can have Wally Hickel and Jay Hammond who signed it before he died and 47,000 Alaskans who signed it in just 4 short months. I mean, I know what I'm up against, but I'll take that team. you know, each time. And it'll be hard, but I think just like the cruise initiative, people will see through a lot of this. And I trust Alaska so much more than I do sort of the big money.
525 in the Anchorage Bowl. Thanks a lot, Bob, for that. 929-5160, the telephone number. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with more from Representative Eric Croft, damn it, and Senator Johnny Ellis. And welcome back, 527 at the bottom of the hour. Fish Radio, Eleni Welch coming up. Representative Eric Croft has to take off. He's got business to attend to. But Senator Ellis has agreed to stick around with us a little while longer. So if you've got questions, give us a call at 929-5160. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. Before we take a break, we go to line two where we're joined by Pat. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess and the whole issue of the oil taxes, it all falls into me, the issue of the conflicts of interest with some of the people in the legislature. Last night I was at a community council meeting. I listened to Kevin Myers espouse all the bad things that would happen if the gas reserve tax was passed, and I'm thinking to myself, is he being paid right now by the legislature or the oil companies? What is it going to take, one, just for the conflicts of interest so that we can start holding people accountable for that and say, when you got a conflict of interest, you ought to be out of it, because it really is getting bad. And I know Senator Hawker's got the same question. I remember that in the paper. And then the second thing is, what are we going to do when we've got a president, we've got a governor who basically is saying, I'm going to interpret everything differently anyway, and it makes no difference, such as signing the contract, possibly Bush with all of his illegal things. It really doesn't make any difference if you set any rules if they completely disregard them.
All right. Thanks, Pat. We've only got about a minute left.
Yeah, I got to run to pick up my kids from campfire after school. But great questions, Pat. And, you know, the reason that this is before the voters is Representative Jim Whitaker, who's now the mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but then a legislator from Fairbanks, and I put this bill in for two different sessions. I mean, we tried the legislative process, and it's when I became most, I think, discouraged, is watching the oil industry kill that proposal, it not even getting a fair hearing there, and realizing how bought and paid for so much of the legislature is. It's when we decided to take the step to take it before the people. And it wasn't easy. We spent a lot of time away from our families gathering signatures. But I needed to get this before people who could give it a fair shake.
Representative Eric Croft, he's got to take off at the bottom of the hour. Eric, good to see you. Thanks a lot for taking time out.
You got that name really well. You did good.
I think I got it twice in a row. That's a, Senator Johnny Ellis going to stick around. You should, too, on the other side of this break. In the Anchorage Bowl, this is the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. We are joined in the studio by Senator Johnny Ellis on this lovely Friday afternoon before we kick off the weekend. 929-5160, the telephone number if you've got a question or comment for Senator Ellis. Let's go straight to the phones to line one where we're joined by Warren. Hey, Warren, how you doing? Warren, are you there, sir? Uh-oh, I think Warren got disinterested during the break, and he wandered off. That's too bad. Well, Warren, if you're listening, give us a call back. We're going to mosey on over to line two now, and Seth. Seth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hey, Seth.
Hi. Hello, Senator Ellis. This is less of a call for a question, but more a comment.
Okay.
Yesterday on the show, there was a lot of talk about representing minority voices and getting minority viewpoints out. And I wondered if the senator could speak to the question of how difficult it is in the face of a single-party domination of the legislative and executive branch, how difficult it is to advance and protect minority rights, even on a state level. I mean, we've seen the debacle on a federal level of a single-party dominance. Could he speak to the difficulty of advancing and protecting minority rights
Good
on
question,
a state level?
Yeah, it's a fundamental problem with what the voters did 14 years ago, electing a Republican majority in the House and Senate, and then 4 years ago with Governor Murkowski. That's when the stars were aligned, and they said we're going to get some good things done. Of course, it was a black hole of negativity of things that they've shown their incompetence and the cronyism that's gone on. So it really is a tall order, Seth, to go to Juneau and keep a fighting spirit. I'm proud of the Democratic colleagues I serve with and some Republicans who are honest and stick to their guns. But it has been a real struggle going up against the executive and a Republican supermajority, meeting behind closed doors. And, you know, we had counted on John Harris to sort of stand up to Ben Stevens. That didn't happen very often, if at all. And so there were a lot of things that passed that were very demoralizing and that should have never occurred if there'd been a real debate. Or if the legislative branch had stood up for legislative rights under the Constitution. But too often you had a Republican legislature not holding the Republican executive, Frank Murkowski, responsible for his bad acts, just like you've seen the Republican Congress not holding George Bush responsible for things that have gone wrong in Iraq and all over the world and in this country. So one-party dominance of the government at the state or federal level is a very negative thing. And so I guess I ask people to bring balance to the system. Because any one party that dominates everything, it's open for abuse. And so I'm not saying give the Democrats all the power, but let's have some accountability, some transparency, and better balance to our government. And I think the public would be better served.
If you have that balance, then you tend to have your debates on important issues out in the open instead of behind closed doors.
Exactly. It's a much more healthy environment when people have to debate in public and compromise and work things out. That's what the Democrats were willing to do with Frank Murkowski, and we got a cold shoulder. So I'm hoping for a new day after November 7th.
You know, speaking to the other part of that Seth brought up about minority rights, here in Anchorage, it's Mayor's Diversity Week right now, and
that's right.
The tail end of it anyway. And we've had a growing conversation about the immigration coming into the Anchorage area and the diversity in the Anchorage area, which a lot of us, I think most of us, are really proud of. We have a pretty, really very diverse community. Johnny, you know that. You're from here.
Sure.
Is there anything that, I know there is, but what can we do in the state legislature to make sure that immigrants, that minorities who often don't have a much harder time getting a fair shake in life, can have a more level playing field?
Sure. We want everybody to have access to the American dream. We also want to strengthen the social fabric so that everyone communicates with each other and respects each other's different identities, but that we're all Americans, we're all Alaskans, and we can all share in this great God-given wealth that we, an opportunity that we have here in this state. So we welcome newcomers. We want people to be part of the social fabric, and the legislature can really, and the chief executive together, whether it's the mayor or the governor, can promote an atmosphere of working together and respecting, using the strengths of each of those cultural and ethnic minorities to try and strengthen the community, as opposed to tearing the community apart, whether it's gang violence or whatever it might be. Any kind of social problems that we have should be addressed by the entire community. And so I think it's an exciting time in Alaska where we have immigrants who are willing to work hard and improve the community. There's enough to go around for everybody. Nobody should feel threatened. But we should celebrate our differences, but try and strengthen the social fabric where we're all contributing to the common good.
Let's go back to the phones, 540 in the Anchorage Bowl. We go to line two now, where I think we are rejoined by our friend Warren. Warren, are you there?
I'm still here.
All right, Warren. What's on your mind today?
I enjoyed that last statement you made, Senator, right?
That's right, state senator.
Yeah, I enjoyed that last statement. I just hope that we can live through, live with that and do it exactly what you said. But my interest is on the gas pipeline, and I seem like I'm the lone ranger on this one here, because I'm opposed to gas pipeline being built for one reason, and I believe that if we send that much gas down to the lower 48, it will lower the price of our oil, and all of the East Coast will turn into gas, natural gas. The environmental is going to get hold of this thing, and all the gas oil burning engines and the coal burning engines going to turn into gas, because you're going to have so much gas flooding the country out there, it's just going to be a mad problem for our oil in Alaska. Have there ever been a survey to see whether our gas is going to have a major impact on the oil that we the precious oil that we have in Alaska that we cherish so much?
Thanks for that, Warren. You know, Senator Ellis, we've heard this theory before that the oil companies maybe even are thinking that a huge influx of natural gas on the market might hurt their oil intake. Is there any truth to that, or is it a myth?
Well, you know, there's lots of economic studies going on, and it's, of course, mostly the marketplace, market economics that will determine if this happens and when it happens and to what magnitude of gas delivery to the Midwest or to the West Coast. So market economics are important here, and they're going to be determinative in how this thing goes. You know, there is a consideration for reinjection of gas on the North Slope to maximize the very valuable oil that comes up out of the ground. But the projections are that we'll be able to find enough, that we have enough gas reserves, and that we'll be able to find enough gas for the reinjection needs of the oil industry and to also power a significant gas industry and delivery of gas to the lower 48, either to the Midwest or to the West Coast. To Warren, there is a worldwide race going on to get to deliver natural gas in various forms to the American market. And so there is a window of opportunity to get these gas resources developed. Alaska's economic future depends on this delivery of gas. We want to make it very careful and economic that it occurs. But as I know, many of my friends in the environmental movement, except for the most extreme elements, support development of natural gas because it's a relatively clean resource and that it can fuel the American economy. So, yes, in the short answer, there have been studies done by the major oil companies and others about the delivery of gas to the Midwest market wouldn't depress prices to the point of making the project uneconomic. We can't determine what's going to happen, you know, with Qatar natural gas coming to in tankers to the East Coast, or Indonesian gas coming to the West Coast or to Baja delivery points. So there's a worldwide race on, and how Alaska fits into that is still being worked out.
It's complex. It's not black and white. There's many factors involved, but interesting. We'll see how it plays out. Let's go. Do we have time for one more call, JR, before a break? Let's do that. Let's go to line three, where we're joined by Phil. Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, Aaron. Thanks. I'm doing great. And Johnny Ellis, you're a great Alaskan.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for what you've done.
I'm far from perfect, but I'm trying.
Yeah, well, keep at it. Say, I don't know if you guys have been able to keep up on the news in the studio, but ABC News is now reporting that the training program for these pages that were preyed upon by Representative Foley were warned in their class to stay away from him, and that Dennis Hastert knew that Foley was a sexual predator for quite a while. And it turns out that one of the times that Representative Don Young went to Jack Abramoff's skybox, one of the other people in the skybox was Representative Foley. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we should start questioning Don Young about whether or not he wants to back Denny Hastert and Mr. Foley, or what?
Well, Foley resigned. Foley resigned today. He quit the...
Who all knew that these sexual predators were wandering around preying on these pages? Was Don part of the loop?
Well, that's going out on the limb of conjecture. Nobody but Don Young really knows that.
Phil, I remember when...
Do you think that Aaron should and other people in the media should start asking a little bit more pointed questions of our representatives?
Well, can't get a hold of Don Young. Yeah. JR's been trying to get a hold of him to get him scheduled on the show for 2 weeks. He won't get back to
Don
us.
Don Young definitely ought to be more responsive to his constituents. He's our only congressman.
If he was in Jack Abramoff's skybox with Representative Foley, a sexual predator, I think Don should be forced to come on the air and explain what he was doing in those skyboxes.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even want to read into
Phil,
that.
Phil, do you remember Don Young going...
Because there's an election coming back up, and do you want to send him back to Washington, D.C.?
No. You know what, Phil? I mean, this is all very interesting, and there are... The reasons not to send Don Young back to Washington are so numerous,
there are a lot
I can't
of them.
Even count them all, but I think this is a little bit of a stretch. I think that if you want to look for reasons not to reelect Don Young, you've got a lot more more important things than this, including what Johnny just mentioned. He is totally unresponsive to his constituents in Alaska. It's impossible to get a hold of him. It's impossible to talk to him. He doesn't like to do radio shows. He doesn't like to go on TV. He's not even in Alaska hardly ever. To begin with, the guy lives in Washington, and there's just a lot more important things, I think, regarding that campaign than this. All right, we got to take a break here. I'm getting the frantic single from JR. Senator Ellis, you want to stick around with us a little bit?
Sure,
Are you having a good time on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I got to go here in about 10 minutes, but I can stick.
All right, why not? 5:47 in the Anchorage Bowl. We'll be right back with more of the Aaron Selbig Show after these messages. And welcome back. We've got just about 10 minutes left in the show. Senator Johnny Ellis has graciously agreed to stick around with us. Why not? We're having a good time. There's one thing, though, on a dismal note, folks, that I want to bring your attention to. We were talking about this at the tail end of yesterday's show, and you can consider it a homework assignment, or really your duty as an American citizen, to go out there and find the story. I read about it in the New York Times, but it's all over the place. Today, a dark day in American history, as the United States Senate has approved the same measure that Don Young voted for in the House and was approved by the House, I believe, on Wednesday, that the torture bill, by a vote of 65-34. They've voted to legalize the military commissions that President Bush wanted, to leave it up to the president to establish what are permissible interrogation techniques, to get rid of the right of habeas corpus for suspected terrorism suspects, and to broaden the definition or redefine the definition of what is torture, what is rape under the Geneva Conventions. This is one of those things where, personally, I feel that our Senate and our House are on the wrong side of history. This is going to come back to haunt them. This is not what America is all about. This is stooping to the level of terrorists, and it's very unfortunate. When you get a chance, folks, go out there and read about it. I'm sure you'll be able to find it on your favorite news source. All right, 5:51 in the Anchorage Bowl. Let's get back to the phone lines. 929-5160, the telephone number. We go to line one and Caroline. Hi, Caroline. Caroline, are you there? Oh, she wandered off. All right, let's try.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we are.
I can hear you.
Hi, Caroline. Hi. Okay, sorry about that.
That's
you're
okay.
You're on there.
Okay, great. Well, I wanted to thank Senator Ellis for all that he's done. It's good to visit with him again. Before I get to two phrases that I came up with, and they're open to anybody that wants to make use of them, I wanted to mention one thing for Warren's concerns. Alaska has more to sell than oil and gas, and if you maintain a scarcity, then yes, you're going to get more for it. But if we don't do everything we can, there won't be kids left to breathe anything because of the way we're destroying this planet. And I know a lot of people are going to say, blah, 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 but I'm talking about in the 36 plus years I've been here, amazing weather changes. So leaving all that aside, the phrase I have first had to do with the passing of the Proposition 2 to tax the industry there.
The reserves tax?
Industry, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gas reserves.
Yeah. Or
gas,
are you talking about the cruise ship?
I'm talking about one, I'm sorry. Gas reserves and also the cruise industry.
Oh, okay.
And this hit me when I saw all of those people, and I liked Eric's comment about scared business people, because that's a lot of what it is. They're decent folks. I know a lot of these people. But my statement to the voters is, and they did it this last time, follow the money and vote against it.
Very good. Follow the money, vote against it. That's
exactly
good.
Exactly. And other one I just came up with the other day, President Bush, or just Bush, forget the president, he doesn't deserve it, Bush has put us, capital U, capital S, between a rock, I-R-A-Q, and a hard place.
Hey!
I'm trying to get bumper stickers made, and
if I do,
I'll call you and let you know, and you can pass them out.
You know, Caroline, that's very good. I wish I knew whoever was responsible for printing out the Corrupt Bastards Club hats, T-shirts, and coffee mugs, literally like the day after the FBI raids. I'm sure they made a fortune. I would put you in touch with that person, and you could get get those stickers done in a heartbeat.
Well, I'm already cranking out stickers. So, yes, I think it's something that will resonate with a lot of people.
Good.
So,
Caroline's very creative. I'm still miffed at her for winning a lamp at an auction for candidate Bill Wilikowski that I was after, too. But she.
Oh, well, listen, I'll tell you, everything in life, there's it's up for grabs.
Up for
just
sale.
Give me a call.
And I'm kidding you, too. But congratulations on that cool lamp.
Yeah, it is a cool lamp. It just needs a shade. I left the shade there, but anyway.
Thanks a lot, Caroline.
Thank you, sir.
We got to take a break here. We'll come back and try to squeeze in a couple more calls on the Aaron Selbig Show with our guest, Senator Johnny Ellis. And welcome back, folks. We've just got a couple of minutes left. I want to make sure we thank you, Senator Ellis, for coming in, as you do most Fridays, for taking time out to join us. And to remind all of our listeners, if you want to find out more, lots of links to information on what's going on with the gas pipeline, the reserves tax, most of the issues that we've been talking about here today can be found out there in the series of tubes at www.akdemocrats.org. It is .org, right?
Not .org.
.org. Okay, that's what I thought. Let's take one more call very quick before we get out of here. We go to Zach on line one. Zach, we don't have a lot of time, but you're on.
Oh, that's fine there. And I just wanted to ask Senator Ellis what his view was on property rights issues, as I've, you know, founded and incorporated my website now, stomptheman.com. And I was just wondering what his thoughts are really quick on a business's right to choose how they want to conduct their business.
When you said property rights, I thought you meant the Supreme Court ruling that we addressed in Alaska statute this year about seizure of property and fair compensation. But you're talking about businesses.
He's talking about the smoking ban. And to tell you the truth, Zach and Senator Ellis, we've only got about 15 seconds
left. And I think the voters are going to decide. Right?
I think so. There's a ballot out there. I know that Zach's out there collecting signatures. And, folks, if you see that, if you agree with his position, there you go. It's out there for you.
Citizen democracy in action.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Senator Ellis, again. And thanks to all of you for calling in and for listening at home. Have a good weekend, everybody. JR and I will be back on Monday at 4 o'clock, and so should you.